Inside of the bulletin, the introit, we are singing it still during this Advent season, a little bit different than normal with the choir helping us out. So we'll follow it that way for the introit, for the gradual, and the Alleluia and verse. And so that's kind of how we'll do that. Our opening hymn will be hymn 343, Prepare the Royal Highway, hymn 343. We sing it at this time. Divine Service, setting one, page 151 in your hymnal, page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit as it's printed in our bulletin. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arms rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll do the gradual as printed in the bulletin. The epistle lesson comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel and singing the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for our sermon hymn, hymn 347, "Comfort, Comfort, Ye My People."
Thank you. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Doubt can be defined as a hesitancy to believe, a feeling of uncertainty about the truth, reality, or nature of something. Going with this definition, the beginning of our gospel lesson today is a case study in doubt. The disciples of John the Baptist had been shaken to their core. Their teacher by now had been in prison for some time. And the person that John proclaimed to be the Messiah, this Jesus, didn't seem to be fulfilling their expectations. He certainly didn't seem like he was going to go save John, nor did it appear that he was going to unleash divine judgment, restore Israel's glory, and make all the nations know the one true God. What was going on in their minds? What in the world was going on? But, like any good disciples, they go to Jesus and ask the question they are given to ask. Are you the one or not? Confusion as to who the Messiah is abounds. Confusion that echoes even today. Confusion about God's word, about the gospel, is still repeated even to this day. Even now, just as then, people are looking around to hear and to see anything except the only truth that really matters. May the prayer of our collect be answered for us and for all this day, that our Lord Jesus Christ would cast away the darkness of our hearts, so that we may behold and know He who is the light and life of the world, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. What have you come to see? What kind of message and messenger are you looking for? In speaking to the crowds, Jesus not only instructs them about John, but he also asks you about his word. What did you come out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Are you looking for a preacher and a message that bends to the will and whims of the times? Something that is heartwarming, inspirational, and doesn't offend your sensibilities or life choices? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? I tell you, those who are in soft clothing live in king's houses. John was no soft man. He lived in the desert. He wore camel skin. He ate locusts. And he called out the sin of those who were in power. John ended up not in a king's house, but in a king's prison. Perhaps you are looking for some good old-fashioned fire and brimstone preaching. Well, so long as the preaching isn't about your sins, someone else's sins. I mean, after all, they need to be scared into heaven and have the fear of God put in them. But surely, not you. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Times are tough. The world is crazy, chaotic, and seems to be falling apart. I mean, we all need a sense of stability. So are you looking for someone who can give you a roadmap to navigate these times of tribulation? Someone who seems to have a direct line to God, who just makes the Bible just make sense in a way that is perfect for our times. Even if what they preach and teach is not what you learned in catechism, and it certainly has never been heard of before in the church of all ages. Whatever and whoever it is, we often look at anything and everything but Jesus. Your sinful flesh do not want to hear the truth of God's word, for instead of holding it sacred, gladly hearing it and learning it, it's just much easier to hear a word that tickles your ears. The world is so enraptured with the holiday spirit that even now, as it still tries to prepare for the festivities of Christmas, hearts are still not prepared for his coming. Much more comfortable is the warmth of family and friends and hot cocoa, of baby Jesus, meek and mild, instead of remembering that his blessed incarnation was all for the purpose of his crucifixion. To acknowledge that the Christ child laid upon the wood of the manger would one day be nailed to the wood of the cross would mean that you and I and the whole world would have to admit that we're sinners. Sinners who are in need of a Savior. But it's much more natural to not take the gospel for what it is, that Jesus Christ was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification, and instead to hear the gospel the way we want to hear it. Well, Jesus did his part. I guess I better do my part. Or, Jesus only died for some people. I better make sure I'm one of the lucky ones. Or, God just wants us to love and let live, and that's really what Jesus was all about. Whatever lie can be substituted, you and I and the whole world certainly never run out of ways to ignore Jesus and to rob ourselves of the joy of his salvation. And Jesus said to them, John's disciples, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." John's disciples, his congregation, doubted that what their preacher had said was true. Doubt had pierced their hearts, and through that gap began to seep in unbelief. And John, as any true prophet, as any true preacher would do, pointed them not to their feelings and their expectations, but to the promises that are in the Word and to Christ's works. Feelings are fleeting and malleable, for our hearts are oh so very fickle. But the word of the Lord endures forever. What God promises, he does. Those doubting hearts were pointed by John's preaching, as once by his finger, to the truth of who Jesus is and what he was doing. Jesus' miracles confirmed for them that he was indeed the promised Messiah, even as all the prophets had formerly testified. So then, what do you hear and see? A world that's falling apart? Families, friends, and communities isolated from each other. Heralds of a dark winter filled with dread and disease. Have these things robbed you of your joy? Lift up, lift up your drooping heads and look to Christ. What is it that you hear? The gospel is still being proclaimed, always going forth and never, never returning void. The word is preached in its truth and purity, and unbelief is turned into faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. God has heard the cries of agony, pain, and finally, it is finished, uttered by His Son. God the Father has accepted Christ's perfect sacrifice upon the cross, and He has sounded forth His verdict. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. What do you see? Sinners being brought to the font that in baptism they would be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. You see your pastors pointing you to Christ's cross and resurrection, forgiving you all your sins in the stead and by the command of your Lord Jesus Christ. You draw near to His holy altar, confessing, Word made flesh, the bread He taketh, by His word His flesh to be. Wine His sacred bloody maketh, though the senses fail to see. Faith alone the true heart waketh, to behold the mystery. Jesus is still doing what the word promises, saving sinners, of whom I am chief. Take heart. The Lord has promised the church that the gates of hell will not prevail against her. And now, even some 2,000 years later, Jesus is still at work through His church, proclaiming the gospel, creating faith, and bringing people to His abundant and eternal life. Jesus says, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." The incarnation, the cross, the empty tomb, baptism, absolution, the Holy Supper. Christ is the chief cornerstone, but He is also the stumbling block. The unbelieving heart cannot and will not believe that this is how God works. But blessed are you, for the Holy Spirit has granted you faith that you would apprehend and take hold of what Jesus Christ has done and is doing for you. Without faith, one does not have joy in the Lord, but is instead scandalized and offended by Him. But because you have Christ, because He has made you His own, your joy knows no bounds and overflows even into eternity. Truly, truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You see, John the Baptist's greatness was that he was the promised forerunner, the one to prepare Jesus' way. And yet you, who are so far away from having such an honorable position, are, by faith, also counted among the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. For in faith, you possess all of Jesus and all His merit. And it is true that God will reward each their due. But in heaven, standing before the Lamb of God, what is greater than this, than to see the face of your Savior and to live with Him forever? And so then, let each receive their reward and each their crown, even as John received. And then let us all cast down our crowns before Him who wore a crown of thorns, that you and I would have everlasting life. Our lives are, in a way, a prolonged season of Advent. A season of waiting, not for Christmas to come around on the calendar again, but a season of waiting for Christ's return. But you are not filled with doubt as to who your Messiah is. If our sermon began with a definition of doubt, let it end with the definition of faith. Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." You know your Jesus, and you know what he has done for you. As a husband lays down his life for his bride, so Christ has laid down his life for the church, that you might live forever. But your Savior is not dead, but he lives forever, that he might live with you, whom he loves with a love stronger than death, for all eternity. Christ has indeed restored to you the joy of your salvation, of his salvation. So let us then wait with joyous anticipation, bubbling up within us as springs of water, that on Christmas we might belt out with true joy and mirth the angelic hymn of praise, and that in eternity we would rejoice in the Lamb of God forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in joy. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In addition to the prayer requests listed in the bulletin, we have an additional prayer request. We pray for Lane Georgeson, the mother-in-law of Lauren Georgeson, who has been admitted into the hospital this past week. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, "Lord, have mercy." For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom extended, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church throughout the world and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission, and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God has given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and the renewal of life, and have a foretaste of the feast to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use us to call them home to the Father, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the government and all who have been set into positions of leadership, that they may use the authority entrusted to them honorably and for the good of the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who serve in worthy occupations, professions, arts, and sciences, that God would grant them skill and integrity in the performance of their responsibilities and valued service through their vocations. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, unemployment, or underemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for all the faithful, that the Holy Spirit would lead them to cheerful, generous giving from the bounty the Lord provides to support the church and to help those in times of need. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who are sick, especially those in our own midst, including Lane, Barb, Marta, Elaine, Pastor Russert, Anna, Kelly, Mildred, Jim, John, Susie, Cecilia, Steve, John, Hee Kyung, Joyce, Max, and all others whom we name in our hearts. That God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, that they may always remember the giver of every gift and give him heartfelt thanks, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, knowing that he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We sing together the offertory on page 159. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We stand and sing together the Nunc Dimittis as it's printed on page 165. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for a closing hymn, hymn 338. Glad to have you all here, and we pray the service was a blessing to you. Just a few announcements to bring to your attention. First off, you'll notice someone is missing that's normally up here. Pastor Poppy and Barb are at the baptism of their grandson this morning in Omaha, and so we praise God for that and rejoice with them as well. In a few minutes, we'll have Bible study, family-style Bible study, back in the parish hall. You're all invited to come to that. We're continuing our look at worship and talking about how our worship that we do here today and now really has its roots all the way back in the very beginning of the church, as well as back even before that in the Scriptures, and so we invite you for that. As you head that direction, you can notice back there, there's a couple tables. One of them has the offering envelopes for next year sitting out on there. So if you could pick those up, and even if you know someone, you can help deliver them. We appreciate that as well. Right next to that, there's also a table with Good Shepherd Lutheran Church cookbooks from several years ago that for a free will offering, you can take one of those home as well. Great, I'd say stocking stuffers, but I guess it depends on how big your stocking is. Great Christmas presents maybe is the way to say that, so feel free to take a look at those as well. Our mission project for the month is David Preuss. He's a missionary down in the Dominican Republic, and so there's opportunity to help and support him as we support those different missions. Also coming up here in our congregation on December 18th, we have a blood drive. I think maybe all the spots are filled, but do check the website, and they'll be able to tell you if there's any openings that come up. Finally, in the news and notes, which you can pick up at the table at the entryway, there is information about a Christmas card shower, in a way, for our shut-ins. Because of COVID-19, we can't go out and carol to them. Visiting has been difficult at best because of rules to get into buildings and things like that. So to show our care and compassion for those shut-ins, feel free to take a look at the information and send them a card in the mail as well. Our dismissal will be from the back to the front. We ask you to respect social distancing on your way out or to Bible study. The kids' choir is meeting this morning for Wednesday's Christmas program, but today, instead of meeting down here, they're going to meet up in the balcony. And so, kids, if you want to head up that direction and practice for that, that'd be great. Vicar, nice job. Anything I've forgotten? No? Okay. God's blessings on your week.